dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The crime of the 21st century is said to be financial scams targeting the elderly. And some of those scams take advantage of the fact that many of the elderly have their own homes. For example, in Massachusetts, a 68-year-old woman allegedly was scammed by a 27-year-old man who sold her $250,000 home at a price about half of its value. And he sold it to a straw buyer who immediately sold it again at a price closer to its value, funneling some $100,000 back to the 27-year-old man, who by that time had left the 68-year-old woman without money to buy another home and dropped her off at a homeless shelter. In today's gospel reading, Jesus warns about a crime of the first century, Jewish leaders of his day, who, among other things, might scam widows out of their homes. But Jesus' warning is no ordinary consumer alert, which we will realize as we reflect on the gospel reading under the theme, The Scribes, the Widow, Jesus, and Us. For today's gospel reading, we have returned from an All Saints Holy Day reading in St. Matthew's gospel account to our largely continuous reading of St. Mark's gospel account. And we've moved forward in time in the account from Jesus' healing blind Bartimaeus on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem that we heard 2 weeks ago to the Tuesday of Holy Week when the Jewish leaders were challenging Jesus and Jesus in turn was challenging them. Our theme is the scribes, the widow, Jesus, and us. And so we begin with the scribes. Today's gospel reading is said to give us the only example of Jesus criticizing the practice of the scribes. And that criticism of their practice certainly relates to his immediately preceding remarks about the teaching of the scribes. But perhaps more notably for us today, Jesus' own teaching includes teaching about money. Money the scribes swindled from widows, and money a poor widow, perhaps even a widow that some scribes had impoverished, voluntarily giving to her church that day. The gospel reading does not tell us precisely how the scribes devoured widows' homes, but the general idea is that the scribes appropriated the widow's homes or property illegally. Apparently, the scribes were not paid a regular salary, and so their livelihood depended on getting money in other ways. Perhaps the scribes charged so much for their services protecting the widow's rights that the widows lost their homes and property to them. Perhaps the scribes suggested the widows give so generously to them, or perhaps to the temple, that the widows were left begging. Regardless, Jesus said the scribes will receive the greater, we might say, abundant condemnation. Having talked a little bit about the scribes, let us consider the widow, who stands in sharp contrast to the scribes. The widow came after Jesus had sat down opposite the treasury in the temple's court of the women and was watching, we might say reviewing or inspecting, how the people put money into the treasury. Payments for the service of the temple, support for the poor, and other voluntary contributions. Many rich people put in large sums, but the poor widow put in only 2 small copper coins, which, despite the English Standard Version's translation, made together less than 1 cent. Yet Jesus said the widow put in more than everyone else, for they had contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Apparently, at least to some extent, the widow feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things, trusting that, especially as a widow, God would provide for her material needs, certainly better than those two coins could. But she also probably trusted that, as a sinner, God would provide for her spiritual needs, even if she did not yet personally know Jesus. Having talked a little about the scribes and the widow, let us consider Jesus. Similar to, but greater than the widow, Jesus on the cross put in or offered everything he had, including his very life. To the Corinthians, St. Paul writes, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Likewise, today's epistle reading reminds us that Jesus appeared once for all to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was offered once to bear the sins of many. People cannot save themselves or in any way buy their own salvation. Jesus' offering of himself is all that sinners need. Later, we will sing to Jesus in the first distribution hymn, "Paschal Lamb, your offering finished once for all when you were slain, in its fullness undiminished, shall forevermore remain, cleansing souls from every stain." Consideration of the scribes, the widow, and Jesus now leaves us with us. We may not swindle money from widows, but we no doubt are like the scribes in other ways. Ways such as sinful pride, showiness, desire for possessions, and hypocrisy. We may not like walking around in long robes or being greeted first in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogue, or the places of honor at feasts, but we may like other forms of human glory, maybe such glory as large numbers of followers, likes, and pins on such things as Facebook, Flickr, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, and Instagram. My younger niece, Jacqueline, helped me out with some of those contemporary social media references. The abundant condemnation the scribes would receive, we also deserve, on account of both our sinful nature and our actual sins. And yet, when we are sorry for our sinful nature and our actual sins, and when we trust God to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake, then instead of condemnation, we graciously receive from Christ as a gift the forgiveness of sins, and so also the crown of life. In fact, we receive as a gift all that we have. God meets our merciful needs, our material needs rather, and God meets our spiritual needs. And sometimes God meets both needs at the same time. As God in today's Old Testament reading miraculously provided for the widow of Zarephath, her son, and Elijah by his word spoken through Elijah, so God also provides for us by his word spoken through his representatives. God's word combines with water in holy baptism. God's word is spoken by the pastor in individual holy absolution. And God's word brings Christ's body and blood to be present in bread and wine on this altar in Holy Communion, that we might be strengthened and nourished in body and soul with the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Jesus' sacrifice and its benefits given to us in these ways in turn move us to offer our whole lives to him as our daily offering of thanksgiving. Our offering our whole lives to him are in some sense represented by our voluntary offerings of monetary gifts to the church of our day, proportionate to God's blessings to us and set aside on the first day of the week. From women and men of all ages and all marital statuses, these offerings support the work of God's kingdom here and elsewhere, And ultimately, these offerings and those who offer them receive God's glory and recognition. We cannot know and do not judge between offerings, but we praise and honor equally all those who offer them. In Massachusetts, the 27-year-old man accused of scamming the 68-year-old woman was arraigned on Thursday in Boston Municipal Court and awaits trial, although some of the money that he scammed has been recovered. Here today, we have considered the scribes, the widow, Jesus, and us. Though we deserve the same condemnation as the scribes, Jesus instead gives us the crown of life, and we are moved to give as the widow gave. With our offerings of our whole lives, as we sang in the introit, we thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And we pray now, as we will again in the closing hymn, Lord, help us all with you to yield whatever love demands and freely give as you have given with open hearts and hands. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.